Thank you, everyone. As the operator, just need to inform you that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me read the list of names of people that I see being on the call. I've got Alex Gakuru, William Drake, Aubrey Doria, myself, Konstantinos Komatis, Jolly McPhee, Robin Gross, Wendy Seltzer, Alain Berenger. Wolfgang Kleinwachter was here, but is now marked as disconnected. Hopefully, he's back.
Yeah, I'm back, yeah.
I will, at various pauses as they happen in the meeting, if other people join, I'll just announce who's joined as opposed to interrupting the flow at that time. In terms of the transcript that's created, I request that people remember to give their names at the beginning of speaking. Of course, I didn't do that and say this is Aubrey Doria speaking. Okay, first thing on the agenda is the agenda bash. I don't know if you've all got it open. It is on the wiki site. I first have an update on the elections. Then there's the GNSO issues, where two motions are currently listed, and then I'm asking the G Council members present to fill us in on the rest of what's going on. I have no idea. Then there's a group called Stakeholder Group and Constituency Issues, which these are just listed here. If NCUC chair wants to make a, you know, give an update, that's great. If MPOC chair or vice chair or whomever wants to give an update, great. I don't know if there's anyone here. Yes, Alex is here from the candidate consumer constituency, so perhaps an update. If there are people on, I want to bring up something on the NCSG committees. Then there's a general title called Membership Issues. There are a lot of outstanding membership applications. Then, because it's been brought up, relationship between the constituencies, especially the complaints brought to the board by NPOC. Then there's working group plus updates from NCSG representatives on review teams. I don't know if our representatives from the Who Is Policy Review or Security, Stability, and Resiliency in the DNS Review are here. It'd be great if they are. I don't see them at the moment. Updates from NOMCOM, if Maria was here, I would ask that. Updates from any policy working groups, that's just the standard that has been on the agendas up to date. Anybody that is in one of those committees that feels there's something that needs to be told to the NCSG, please do so. Then there's the topic of discussion of topics for the board meeting with the topics that have been suggested so far. And then there's other planning for Dakar, which includes the possibility of making stakeholder group constituency statements in the Dakar public forum. And Robin brought that one up, so I put her name beside it. And also on the topics for the board meeting, I put the name of the person that suggested the topic.
And this is for the next 2 days?
No, this is for the next 2 hours, Wolfgang. We can go through it quickly. We can go through it slowly. We don't need to take 2 hours. Sorry if I took too long explaining the agenda. Any changes, additions, strikes, whatever, or should we proceed? Hearing nothing, we'll proceed. Update. I got nothing yet. Obviously, they closed at 23:59 GMT minus 11 this morning, which is somewhere out in the middle of the Pacific. Oh, Mary Wong has joined, and so on. I have not yet gotten the tallies. The way I propose doing it is, once I get the tallies, I'll certainly announce that. What also is a feature of this election method, or of the balloting method that ICANN has, is that they will also give me a list of each vote. Now, as you know, you all had a number in your ballot. Anyone that voted had a number, and you got a receipt back saying your vote has been recorded and it has your number. The list that ICANN gives basically lists a number that only you know and the vote. So what I'm proposing is I will announce the provisional winners. I will put these lists on the wiki where everybody can check and say, yep, things look kosher. Nobody messed with my vote. And, you know, give that 24, 48 hours, at which point, and I'm sure there won't be any issues, and then announce that, you know, the provisional announcement is indeed the case. Does that seem like a reasonable approach to people? Does anybody object to my giving this day or two of check, especially since the people, Robin will be taking over on the Tuesday of next week, and the new council members take their roles at the end of the ICANN week, so it's not like I'll be stalling anybody's taking power or anything. So is this a an acceptable method for people? Anyone want to speak to it? Okay, then I'll proceed along that. And as soon as I get information from ICANN, which I expect will be later today or tomorrow, I'll start putting out the announcement. And good luck to you all who are running, not only with having prevailed or not, but with doing the job for the next year. Rebecca McKinnon has joined us. Welcome. Okay.
Hello.
So having done the update on the elections, anything more on that before I proceed? Okay. Next thing is GNSO issues. Hopefully of the, we got at least three of our council members on the call. So one, both, two or three of them will take over on these because I do not consider myself adequately knowledgeable on the motions. But the first motion that's there is one that was deferred from the council meeting, last council meeting, to approve an amended version of the process specified as Process B in the final report on proposals for improvements to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement final report to develop a new form of RAA with respect to the high and medium priority topics described in the final report. Who would like to speak on that from the council?
Aubrey, this is Mary. I can say something about it.
Please.
Since this seems to have been my lot in life to see how far this goes and dies and how many times. So clearly, I mean, obviously, as people know, similar motions were defeated because the contracted parties' house both times voted unanimously against motions like this. The first motion asked for observers and negotiations between the registrars and ICANN staff. The second is something that's very substantially similar to the current motion. Essentially, we wanted to propose the same motion that got defeated, but because of the GNSO rules, we've tweaked it a little bit. So it's a different motion, but substantially very similar. It is a watered-down version of the first motion that was defeated. We fully expect it to be defeated again. The reason for deferral to Dakar is that because it's going to be defeated again, the contracted parties have to do it in full view of everybody at the ICANN meeting and explain why. So I don't know how all the other G councillors are going to vote from our stakeholder group. Hopefully people will vote in support. I mean, although it's not going to go anywhere despite that. But the one issue I'd like to raise, Aubrey, in addition to advice from our members on how to vote, is whether this is going to impact any of our potential budding or relationships or discussions with, say, the registrars, particularly on the law enforcement issue. And I'd like actually some direction from folks on that more general point as well.
Okay, thanks. I'll take a queue of people that want to speak. Who would like to speak? Anyone?
This is Bill. I guess I can.
Okay, put Bill. Anyone else want to be in the queue for now? Okay, I'll check again after Bill speaks. Bill, go ahead, please.
This is a long and kind of amusing story. We had quite a go-around on the RAA in San Francisco, and as Mary recounted, there was a pretty solid voting block among the contracted parties, and a lot of very interesting, earnest, and often borderline overheated exclamations from the registrars in particular about how essentially all this stuff is nobody's business but theirs. The community has no right to have any input into this. This is a contractual matter between them and quote, ICANN, by which I guess they mean the staff and the board. And so the rest of us should just butt out and everything, nothing is appropriate for discussion with them. So that was that led to a lot of interesting dynamics that have kind of reverberated for a while. So this is a revised effort by the IPC, who we have actually been voting alongside in this regard, to put this back on the table in a softened form without any more. Some of the earlier versions, Mary can recall the details better than me, it required more transparency and public participation in the discussions. This is a fairly scaled-down version of that, but I think that it is still, it would be progress. It would be better than the status quo with regard to the registrars. As to whether, of course, they'll vote against it, I imagine, but then that, too, lends itself to a kind of a PR-type moment. Should we choose to do something about it, when the previous versions went down in flames, we had brief discussions in Singapore with AWAC about the possibility of couldn't we cooperate on this issue, but we haven't really had much real discussion with them since then. But we could, in principle, if we wanted to, raise greater awareness in the, quote, community that we have this issue with the contracted parties basically not wanting to disclose or share any information about the details of how they're bound to operate, and that people might respond to that. As to whether we affect our relationship with the registrars, I mean, you know, all these things are such variable geometry. It's one day you're voting with the IPC on one motion, but you're voting against them at the same time on a different motion, the same with the registrars. I don't see personally in my 3 years in council, maybe others have different experience, but I have not felt that we've ever built progressively a stronger, close working relationship with anybody that would be consistently leveraged over time, maybe with the ISPs a little bit sometimes. But generally speaking, this is all a matter of voting when it's in your self-interest, and so alignments come and go and dissipate instantly, and everybody understands it. So I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to speak to this topic before we move on?
Ivory, it's Mary again. Can I add something to what I said earlier?
Of course.
And just for information, I don't know how this is going to affect the discussions in council. It actually could be really interesting because, as some of you know, a discussion paper on next steps of the RAA was sent around by ICANN staff to the council, I think, last week. I've only looked at it really briefly, but one of the things that it does highlight is the need, well, two things. One is that the recommendation is that negotiations should start immediately, but that the negotiations would require, you know, deep and timely reporting to the community to ensure transparency. And the staff say that this is in line with the most recent proposals. I'm not sure if that refers to the motion we're voting on or something else. But I think the fact that there is a discussion paper that the staff have produced with some suggestions and recommendations, and the registrar stakeholder group has clearly looked at that very carefully, and they have some reactions to it. We don't know the full scale of it yet. That could influence the discussion, but I don't think the vote overall.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else wish to comment?
Yeah, this is Milton.
Okay, Milton, please go ahead.
The registrar's unwillingness to have us involved in the RAA is perceived by us primarily as something that's just them wanting to, you know, free themselves completely from any kind of user representation. But I think if you look at it in this way, I'm not arguing for this, I'm just saying this sort of represents something that might make it a little more understandable. You remember that the commercial users wanted to get involved in the negotiation of the NCSG charter at one point, and we all thought that was a really bad idea. We didn't like the idea of other interest groups with very distinct interests sort of getting involved in our basic compact with ICANN. And I think that's pretty much the way the registrars view our getting too closely involved in the negotiation of the RAA. Now, tell me, is it or is it not possible for us to influence the RAA in ways that we want to influence it through the policy-making process? Do we have to get into the specifics of the RAA itself, or can we set policies that then have to go into the RAA in some way? That's my question.
Would anybody like to take a thing at that? I have. I can add something, but...
Agree. This is Alain. I just have a question on identification. I'm new to this group. It's my first meeting. And would I be guessing right that it was William Drake that was talking?
Yes. No, that before, that was previously. That was just Milton Mueller.
No, that was the first one. Okay. I'm clear. Thank you for that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. People should say their names, but I do believe he said his name, and yeah, but please. Okay. Within the RAA, there's basically two things. One is they have some issues that fall within the picket fence of that, so that are subject to PDP consensus policies. However, there are other issues that are not subjected to consensus policy, but the current RAA contract does subject any new contract to a vote of the G Council before it goes forward. Now, any new contract doesn't have to get signed by people until their contract lapses and they have to re-sign it. And what ICANN generally does, though, is offer some kind of, you know, sweetener incentive for them to sign sooner. I don't know that there's a policy process outside of those two mechanisms to affect the RAA. And other than, of course, just because something is not within the council's purview doesn't mean that there isn't a vote threshold within the council that would allow the council to make policy recommendations on it. That's always a possibility, but then it'll be a very interesting issue as to in what way would it affect the RAA and the contract between the two. If I can go on one step further on the issue you brought up. First of all, I think any relationship you have with the registrars will be improved by my absence. I am pretty much the one that raises fire in their eyes at the moment because I've made so many public statements about how wrong they were in the way they were behaving, and I made them publicly and some of them. So my absence from the room will already give you a chance to have a more rational conversation. And that's not to say that I don't see red in my eyes when I see them either. So, two. Second, they have asked to have a conversation with the executive committee from NCSG, which I did pass on to the executive and policy committees. You all need to decide to do that. Three, I had conversations with Mason, who basically said, listen, if there are issues that are really of great concern to you, come talk to us bilaterally about them. And four, I think another, I don't really accept fully Milton's argument that just like we didn't want CSG messing with our charter, they don't want us messing with their contract because the contractual relationship that affects users and registrants is not something that is individual just to the registrars. But having said that, they have a real issue with if they open the door, they've opened the door to everybody being at the negotiations, including law enforcement and those from the from the trademark mafia. So,
right,
so
that was...
it's basically, you know, they don't want anybody, but especially, you know, they don't want. So there's a whole lot of parts to it. I still think it's totally unacceptable, and in my own right, I will continue to say it is totally unacceptable for them to behave this way. But you certainly may have the ability to have bilateral conversations with them that get you some, and you have a natural alliance. Things that NCSG might not want done for freedom of expression reasons, the registrars wouldn't want done because it would cost them money to implement it. So there is a natural alliance there that can be played properly by people. Anyone else?
This is Bill. Could I just add something?
Certainly, Bill.
I understand your point, and certainly it's true that the LEA and the IPC loom large in this story from the registrar's perspective. On the other hand, they deal with the LEAs already anyway, and it's not like they don't hear from them. So one has to wonder when they spin that kind of a narrative that it's we have these very specific concerns, whether that's completely genuine or are they kind of like playing on the fact that some of us would, naturally be inclined to think, oh, yes, that's right, let's keep the LEAs far out of this, et cetera, and maybe then dampen our support for transparency when, you know, the reality is I'm sure they have very complex and thorough interactions with that law enforcement people anyway. And same as I mentioned, true for the IPC. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying I think that it's not a completely clear-cut case, but in any event, I certainly would support transparency even with that risk.
Thanks. Yeah, as you know, I'm a transparency maximalist, so of course I agree with you. I was just trying to present everything that I had heard.
Great.
Anyone else wish to speak to this topic before I move on?
Aubrey, it's Mary again. Can I just say
of
something
course.
Real quick?
Please.
You know, going back to the meeting with the registrars for Dakar, I think you know that I would support that. Maybe one of the things, I think you had sent an email saying, what should we talk about, right? I mean, besides the general and the obvious, it might be that we want to talk about this discussion paper. I mean, much of that might already been taken in the council meeting, but if this is a SG to SG meeting, we might want to take that up. So irrespective of the vote on the motion itself, this might be some way to continue the conversation and to address some of the points that Milton brought up.
Thanks. In fact, thinking about this, since you are the current chair of the policy committee, you know, I think in terms of working out this whole stuff, you know, because I'm not going to be the one that's there to make sure this meeting happens or setting the agenda, because I'm sure it'll be after Tuesday. So, sounds good. But somebody, you or Robin or someone, has to take the responsibility for closing the loop with them, scheduling a meeting if you want one, and settling the topic.
I would suggest probably Robin as chair of the SG, because it's an SG to SG meeting to as you say, close the loop and confirm we're meeting and where and when. When it comes to specific topics, I'm happy to either lead on this one or to help find people to lead on the different policy topics.
Okay, great. I leave it up to you guys to work it out. I'm just basically saying I probably won't have finished on this by the time I disappear. By the time I poof out of existence. Okay, anything else on this issue?
Yes, Avery, this is Alain. Can I get in the queue?
Of course. Anyone else wish to be in a queue? Go ahead, Alain.
All right. I obviously don't have an expert or historical perspective or, you know, deep knowledge, but I wanted to respond to Milton's proposal just on the principle of it. I think that if we know that the registrars have a picket fence approach, and they see us as a group that wants to step over that. So, and in fact, it brings us into some of the nitty-gritty we may not even want to get involved with. However, if we follow the scenario that Milton mentioned, i.e., work at the policy level, well, policy establishes operating principles. And these principles, once they are established, and we can definitely implement them on the policy, then we can refer back to those principles on debate and issues, new issues later on. So, but of course, this may be obvious to all of you, but that was my viewpoint as a newcomer.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment on this before I move on? Okay. The next one was motion to adopt the policy development process work team updated final report, deferred last time. I don't know if anyone wants to speak to it. I can speak to it a little, having been on the team that put together the new PDP, but anything? Basically, I don't know how much there is to talk about, except for one small thing. A lot of work went into it, a lot of, you know, responding to all the final. I do think it's an improvement over the previous PDP. Among the failures, we weren't quite able, and in fact, it's great to have Rebecca on this call, because it was Rebecca that first made the statement many years ago that all policy development processes should have a human rights impact analysis. And pretty much ever since she said that, that has been one of the things that I've been trying to get into the PDP process. And while I failed to get a human rights impact analysis in per se, the compromise that came out was that there would be a rights impact analysis as part of all policy development processes, and rights including inter alia, privacy, property, etc. So the compromise didn't get us all the way to getting human rights listed in the process itself, but it opened up the topic that there's always a rights impact analysis, and it therefore is up to the G counselors to basically, as they did in the last issues report requesting the council, say, we want a human rights impact analysis, and to actually get that in there. So it was not quite the victory that was hoped for, but it's a step in the right direction. I recommend that people approve this. There may be minor issues that need to be looked at. One of the things that came up in the new implementation review committee that's also been put together that I'm currently on as a NCSG representative on is that as this process, as the new PDP starts being used, there may be small points that need to be reviewed and worked on, but you know, nothing yet. Anybody wish to speak on this?
Could I add a comment? Alex?
Okay, I have Alex. I have Mary. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, Alex speaking. One of the things that I also want to report on this is that there has been in the past an experience where the staff would write to the board reports that were confidential, which we didn't know about. I think the new PDP development process proposes that unless some information needs to be protected, the rest must be disclosed. There must be a reason why they are withholding information. That has been a major point of contention. And therefore, I think that's a good win for transparency within our organization's concerns, our stakeholder group's concerns. Yes, the other thing is about that review. some policies may be, things may change, and they may be steering off what was expected. And therefore, that review committee of what the policy was meant to achieve is something the report also recommends. And I think, I don't want to repeat what Avery already said, I think the only thing I could say is that all the issues that were raised, we have addressed them. They were addressed in the updated report, so all the comments that were received. So I think it's pretty much a more refined, updated final report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and I apologize for having forgotten that you had been an integral part of the group preparing that and fought very hard for the... For the items you talked about. Mary.
Thanks, Avi. Just quickly, I was going to also agree with your recommendation to vote for the report. That's what I plan to do. And I think a lot of great work was put into it by the team, and including especially our representatives. And then on the point you had raised about the Standing Committee on Improvement, I think you and I are the NCSG, NCUC representatives on that. I think at some point we probably need to send around the document, the charter for this group, in terms of how issues are brought up to the Standing Committee, just so that our members are aware that there is a process that reviews implementation. That's it.
Yeah, thanks. That's actually a very good idea, because the committee is set up to have people bring issues to it if they feel the processes aren't working correctly. And as this committee won't review outcomes, but is there to review any of the processes, or if they think processes were abused or whatever in groups. So, yeah, thank you for bringing that up, and I think that's a good idea. Anyone else want to speak on this one? Okay, moving on. So we have three council members, I believe. We've got Wendy, we've got Mary, we've got Bill on the call. Could you tell us what else you expect to happen of issues at this meeting?
Avi, this is Mary. I can talk briefly about what the agenda is likely to look like, because we have a preliminary agenda but not a final one for the council meeting. And if Robin's on the call, I think I got an email asking for that, and I've just pulled it out and found it. I don't recall if Glenn's posted on the website. So this is just for the open council meeting. First, I mean, there's a couple of fairly specific items, things like there was a drafting team to discuss ways to enhance participation in our open meetings, and we're trying out some of the suggestions at this Dakar meeting, which include briefings by the constituency, each constituency. Then there's a couple other things that will be raised. In addition to the two motions, I think the motion deadline is actually tomorrow or today, so I'm not sure if other motions will come in. One of the things that we will talk about, but that will not have a motion, I don't think, is next steps with the UDRP now that the report is out. There will also be, I think, a briefing from the cross-community working group drafting team. And I raise that because that's an issue that's been of great interest to quite a lot of us. And other items would be about the geographic regions working group, for example, and, of course, the vote for the council chair. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we have on the agenda for Wednesday right now. Then, of course, on the weekend schedule, there'll be the usual discussions about ongoing projects and work. And I can go into that in a little bit, but that's just for the council meeting for now.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else want to add on this? Any other issues?
This is Wendy, and I'll just note that anyone who has an item they would like to see put on the council's agenda or a motion they would like to see put forward should always say so.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Milton, I was noticing in a chat that you wanted more flexibility in the meeting we're currently having and more open discussion. If there's something that needs to be said, please do.
Well, my concern was that people like me who are not totally on top of the GNSO Council agenda may just have, you know, a series of sort of general environment questions or comments that might be it simply couldn't be asked in the context of going through the GNSO specific agenda.
So I think it's probably just as well to add those now if they're or are they GNSO issues or are they just general issues that you want brought up?
Well, I was wondering going into the Dakar meeting, right? Are there any?
We have an agenda item for that later in the.
Okay.
So, as I say, if there's anything in the agenda that needed to be changed, please suggest it.
Yeah, I realize we can't get too flexible because we'll run out of time, but we've already gotten 40 minutes in, and we've just gotten to the GNSO agenda, right?
Yes.
And this is Wendy. Unfortunately, I need to leave at 20 minutes out from now.
Yeah, a lot of us need to leave at 4.
So sorry.
I was trying to avoid being time zone centric.
Okay.
Well, tell me what
proceed with the agenda, Madam Chairman.
Well, I mean, at the moment, we have an agenda that now goes into stakeholder group and constituency issues. We then had working group and other updates. We had discussion of topics for board meetings, and we had other planning for Dakar. So if there's any one of those I should bring up sooner so that we can talk about it before everybody who leaves, please let me know. Is there something that should be moved up?
This is Wendy, and just thinking about how we'll spend our time in Dakar, it would be great to do some strategizing on sort of the big picture challenges and issues that we would like to see raised at Council, and if we could give it a longer time frame, a 3-month, 6-month, year, what would we like to see as NCSG? It would be great to be thinking about those longer-term issues.
Would you like to discuss that now or actually in the NCSG meeting in Dakar?
I think I was recommending that as an item for the agenda for our Dakar meetings of NCSG.
Yeah, that's a good idea. One of the things that hasn't happened yet is putting together much of an agenda for that meeting. There's sort of a canned agenda there, but since that will be Robin's meeting, the only thing I'm going to do is basically start it, announce the formal election results, and then turn the meeting over to Robin to disappear. So, that sounds good. Okay.
And this is Wendy. I raise that because, for example, it would be great to put together a position on how we want to advance the UDRP dialogue as a review that we've been promoting, rather than just responding to things that come in.
This is Wolfgang. May I ask also a question? I think one of the challenges in the coming months is the implementation of the new TTLD process. And I think a lot of questions which, certainly will, after the first applications come in, a lot of questions will be for the new questions. And I think we should more or less try to identify, where the interests of the end users and the non-commercial users are, before the ICANN starts the whole evaluation process. I think I didn't hear it so far, but I think this could be one point if you ask for agenda items for 2012.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so it seems like we're in the other planning for Dakar at the moment. I have made some notes on items for the NCSG meeting. How to advance the UDRP issue, how will the new GTLD process advance, where are the issues to the end users. Other things, where would people like to go with this?
Reed, this is Alain. Can
sure,
I come in on this? Yeah, I, this may be just a reaction from a fresh look, but maybe fresh look helps sometime and they don't stay fresh too long. One of the long-term issues I feel is needed in NCSG is to understand how the structure of NCSG can evolve over time. In other words, should there be more constituencies? I know there's a consumer constituency that's in planning. So, but rather than constituencies, I mean, it's important to leave constituency promoters rise, but we should have perhaps a view as to what is really the non-commercial population. We're talking about, you know, millions, literally, of members in the non-commercial set. And so what ideally, I have my views on that, but what ideally should be a structure? Now, you know, we were born, I understand, from NCUC, and then it's only recently that I found out that NPOC was born into with a lot of controversy. And so are they? Should we have a reflection on this? Should academia have its own constituency? And then the issue of we have too many constituencies and we have silos. So, and then non-commercial is defined as in opposition to something. But perhaps we can do better than that. I do not mean my comments to be offensive or to criticize something that I'm not familiar with yet. I mean these comments with a positive view. I hope I would be given that the benefit of that doubt. So in the Global Knowledge Partnership, which I have seen born and I've worked over and still working for about 12 years in one capacity or the other, we reflected a lot in what was a multi-stakeholder models and how our constituencies were finally came together. So that would be a suggestion for, you know, 12 months down the road type of reflection to respond to Mary's idea that we put forward some issues rather than react to some issues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this? I've jotted that one down. Any other comments?
Yeah, this is Milton. Just on the subject of an academic constituency, Elaine, I just want to educate you a bit on some of the dialogue we've been having on this topic for the last 4 years, actually. So the idea that you actually encourage greater participation by putting people into a constituency or naming a constituency academics, which means that you suddenly get more academics, has been pretty much exposed as false. What you do is you create all of these structural barriers and boundaries within the non-commercial users who makes it more and more difficult for people to communicate with each other and to work together, actually. So, for example, if we created an academic constituency, then we'd have another apparatus, a structural apparatus, another mailing list, another representational structure. And those of us involved in building and working with that would probably actually spend less time talking to the rest of the constituencies and the rest of the stakeholder group, and we would then start be looking for special representation for our particular group, and you know, before you know it, we'd be having some of the little fights that NPOC is now having with NCUC. So it's really not a good idea to fragment things more and more.
Well, this is Alain. I don't mean to debate this here. I hear what you're saying quite well. And it's not going to draw consensus without further discussion, especially that NPOC is a membership is growing very quickly. And so, yes, I'd love to debate this and look at how others, other organizations do it, and how do we, you know, still have a substantive discourse What I have found, just as again as a fresh look, I have found that having individual users in a constituency with small NGOs, large NGOs, and academia, you know, and again the entire issue of is academia non-commercial. Well, that's a long debate. So, I agree that it needs to be discussed, and I'm just not ready to say, okay, you guys have talked about it for 4 years, so I better walk the line.
It's true. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about it, because we have been for 4 years. It's just that there's a lot of
water
that's gone under the bridge, so to speak, and other people have, you know, we're not starting from scratch. It's not a new question.
No, fair enough, and I was just trying to respond to the suggestion that we look forward to issues rather than responding to other people's issues. But fair enough, you know, I'm looking forward to hear your 4 years' experience on this. Very much forward.
Okay. Anyone else wish to comment on items for the NCSG meeting in Dakar? Robin, while we're doing other planning for Dakar, you had wanted the issue of discussing the possibility of making stakeholder group / constituency statements in the Dakar Public Forum brought up. Would you like to talk about that? You're muted. If you're trying to talk, you're muted. Okay, I guess not. Okay. Well, I'll work backwards then.
Me now?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yes, so I think in the Dakar Public Forum, it would be great if non-commercial users could make some statements. A lot of the other constituencies and stakeholder groups often get up and have come to a statement on one of the issues that is a topic in the public forum. And we almost never do this, and the reason is because it requires a little bit of advanced planning. So I think we should think about, do we want to make some statements in the public forum? And I'd actually like to propose that we think about the UDRP reform issue. That's something that we've been trying to promote and have done some statements on. And I think if we, you know, take some time to come up with a statement and run it past the list or whatever the process is, then we can feel comfortable to actually make a statement in the public forum in Dakar. Anyone else wish to comment?
This is Bill.
Okay, I got Bill, and again, Alex, was that also you? Go ahead, Bill.
One of the, I think, strategic questions is what issues are worth taking up in the NCSG meeting with the board, and what issues are worth taking up in the public forum where they might not have the same sustained back and forth, but at least you get some perhaps buy-in by in terms of applause in the room and so on. And I would think one that certainly that was raised as a possible discussion topic with the board certainly merits raising in the public forum, and that is the way in which they're going about looking for a new CEO. And more generally, the kinds of criteria that will be used in thinking that will go into the definition of the position. I think, you know, you can never say enough times in ICANN that it's not just a business, it's not just about making money, it is a global public policy and public interest obligation, if that's a word, organization. These things have to be repeated ad nauseum because, as we've seen over and over, there's just a lot of people who are pretty vested into the process in very close proximity to decision-making who just don't see that at all. So I would certainly suggest, I'm not going to be there, but I would suggest for those who are going to be there that would be a really good topic to try to get into in the public forum if you could. I unfortunately had stepped away before. Are we no longer talking about the NCSG meeting at all? Because I don't think we reached any conclusion on what topics. We had email discussions on the PC list, and I don't know what happened with that.
No, we went to the end of the agenda because people thought it was moving too slowly. So we talked about other planning for Dakar, and that's what we're still in. And then the next topic going backwards was discussion of topics for the board meeting.
Okay, good.
And you've done a remarkable lead-in for it. I don't know if other people want to just start talking about this one, too. The suggested so far on the policy committee list, for anybody that doesn't read that list, were constituency relations within the NCSG. That one was recommended by Amber. The community's role in the CEO search, that one was recommended by Wendy. Jazz and plans for the use of TLD string auction proceeds, also recommended by Wendy. And then the need for some coherent thinking process about relations with developing country governments and stakeholders, which I believe was you, Bill. And so those are the four topics that have been suggested so far. And I open it up. Who wishes to speak on either still planning for Dakar or the topics for the board meeting?
Wendy, please.
Okay.
Constantinos, please.
Wendy and Constantinos. Okay. Go ahead, Wendy.
So I think we really want to focus on substance here. We'll get just glazed looks and frustration from the board if we try to get into the inter-constituency politics. And I think they think they've approved the charter, and that's the end of their involvement with our internal affairs. And I think we can show them that we are ready to be taken seriously by going and talking about the serious substantive issues that are coming before ICAM. There are huge matters that will shape the corporation going forward in the new GTLD process and the selection of a CEO. And if we're there focusing on our internal composition, I think we will we'll just look silly. So I would recommend that we pick some serious policy issues and engage them in discussion on that.
Okay, thank you. Constantinos?
Well, I think that Wendy covered it pretty much fantastically. I don't want to add anything, but the only thing that I would really like to caution, if you want, that we should not look at the Borg as some sort of this paternal figure that we can always go to when we have problems within NCSG. We don't get a lot of opportunities to speak to the board and with the board, and I don't really think that it would be a very good use of our time and their time, for that matter, to start discussing and debating about who's right and who did what and who did not do something. So just to reiterate basically what Wendy said so nicely, that we really need to take this opportunity to discuss substance and not things that will place the board in a very awkward position, and will also make us look like we're not even capable of sorting out our own issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to comment?
I was on the queue, but Alex.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex.
Even Bill. Don't worry. My quick comment.
I'm totally incompetent. Go ahead, Alex, and then Bill.
no problem. You have been wonderful. I'm going back to the public forum and reminding us at Seoul, we actually made very good public statements on the hate of the STI directed at the IP extremist. I believe in terms of our strategy for the public forum, we should also have statements each of us could issue, or each of our stakeholder group members could issue, on the UDRP this time around. So thank you. Mine was on the previous topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you for bringing up the fact that we had indeed made statements in the past, and it wasn't true that we never do it. So I appreciate that. Bill, please.
Thanks. Just two things. So first, on the public statements, I'm also at the same time having a long back and forth with Evan from AWAC, and he's asking me why NCSG doesn't come out and make some sort of strong statement in support of JAS, because he feels that there is backsliding in support for it, and AWAC feels that they're all alone out there with CAC, and nobody else is singing the same song. And I've pointed out to him, of course, that we, in fact, spent a great deal of time going back to the beginning of the Nairobi meeting, pushing applicant support and supported AWAC and cross-community working groups and so on consistently throughout. But I think it could be useful, whether you want to do a written statement or simply raise it with the board, to have a serious discussion about the states and then make clear. I think this is an issue that NCSG has been united on. I believe Debbie and Rosemary voted with all the NCUC people supporting JAS, if I remember correctly. I may not remember correctly. So I would think the stakeholder group perhaps could try to do something on that. Going to the other points, I agree with those. And anybody who's not on the policy committee list, it is publicly archived and accessible. We've been talking about topics and so on there, and I did actually suggest it should go on the members list, but anyway. I agree with those who say we should go running to the board to talk about in-house stuff, and when we've done that before, it really generated a lot of consternation. I can certainly tell you about conversations I had with board members when they were exposed to previous sort of internal drama discussions, and they just really were not appreciative of it, and I don't think it's terribly productive, and not a terribly good precedent for us. I do think that one of the topics that I hope we could get into, which is the one that I raised on the list, is the question of whether there shouldn't be some sort of more participatory process for dealing with ICANN's interface or lack thereof with developing country governments and stakeholders, not just as a matter of outreach, which is the way ICANN people tend to process this when I raise these issues, you know, before, including at the last NCSG meeting with the board. Peter's response was sort of like, well, we've got the fellows program, and we're going to fix the website. And this is not enough. Anybody who's involved in any of the larger international political discussions around Internet issues, including in the IGF, knows that in the UN, there are various initiatives on the part of various governments, including in particular the Brazilians and the Indians and the South Africans, to try to assert greater government control over ICANN and its operations. This is an ongoing issue. ICANN does not seem to be dealing with this in a very strategic way. The board has a global relations community, but when I've asked Bruce on the council list what it does and how the community can weigh in, I got no real response. I really think we should be asking that committee, what that committee does, if in fact they're the folks that are supposed to be trying to think about strategy here. If they are, I think that what they're doing could be more transparent. Nobody knows what's going on there, and that they should ought to have a mechanism for engaging the community. There are a lot of people in the broader community who have strong interests in this area and have something to lend to the discussion. So, to me, this is a topic that's worth broaching with the board, and ILS won't be there, but I would hope that if others agree with me, that would be one that perhaps some of you could raise. Thanks.
This is Wolfgang. I can only echo
Wolfgang,
what Bill has just said, and it would be bad for the community if ICANN would not find the right responses to these challenges and would lose the battle, and we should take this really very seriously. As far as I know, there is an IGF workshop on Thursday, And this could be also a right place to discuss this. But anyhow, I think it's in the self-interest of this constituency here to make a contribution, because private sector always can make individual arrangements with government. So that means they will be not the losers. But if we have a governmental takeover, then certainly, you know, the individual user and the non-commercial user will lose most. And in so far, it's in our interest that we formulate the right response to these challenges, and this will not go away. And both the Chinese and Russian proposal and the Indian, South African and Brazilian proposal, which are different in nature, aim more or less at the same target. It means to raise more governmental oversight over all these activities. That means to push back a little bit the multi-stakeholder model and the involvement of internet users.
Thank you, Wolfgang. As you were jumping in, someone else was also trying to get in the queue, but I couldn't hear their name over your talking. Who else was trying to get into the queue at that point, please?
It's me, Konstantinos Avery. It's not
a
problem.
Oh, thank you, Konstantinos. And also, after Konstantinos, I want to put myself in the queue for one comment relating to jazz. Konstantinos, please.
Just a very quick follow-up. I think that this is a very good topic for the board, and especially, generally speaking, discussing the role of the GAC, but also some of the things that the GAC has done. And I think that the example of the UDRP and the way the position of the GAC was formed by collaboration with one stakeholder, which was the IPC, at the point is something that I truly think that we need to raise with the board. We need to show to the board that we are not in favor of this takeover by the GAC, and we're certainly not in favor when GAC is seeking advice on very important issues from one stakeholder group. So I think that this is a great opportunity, and I think actually that this might be one of the most important topics that we can put in the agenda for our interaction with the board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Konstantinos. I was going to make a quick comment related to the jazz issue, and while the NCSG has been indeed very supportive within the G Council on all things jazz, and as one of the person that's been working with it, definitely very appreciative of that. If the NCSG wanted to look at perhaps making a statement as opposed to just one in terms of general support, one of the areas where special support is needed at the moment is actually supporting the proposal in the jazz proposals for the fee reduction. That is perhaps one of the more controversial ones. It is one of the ones where ALAC and GAC are pretty much standing alone, at least publicly. So, you know, that's one where I'd recommend thinking about not basically being a general, we support jazz and, you know, developing economies, but a concrete, we support the fee reduction for the qualified applicants. One other thing I wanted to point out before I look for a cue, there's been pretty much steady discussion in favor of one or the other of the three substantive issues that we have for the board, and looking for three, that would be three. And I have not heard support yet for the internal topic as being one to the board. So, one, I wanted to check whether there was anyone that was in this meeting that was willing to speak for the constituency relation topic, and I did want to point out that there seems to be strong support for suggesting the three substantive topics that we've talked about. Anyone else want to speak on this issue at the moment? Okay, is there, I'll send an email out to the list. Is there any objection to sending the board the three topics, community role in CEO, jazz, and plans for use of TLD string auction proceeds, and the need for coherent thinking process about relations with developing country governments and stakeholders as the three topics that the NCSG is recommending for the agenda with the board.
Avery, this is Alain. Can I get in the queue?
Please, Alain. Go ahead.
I chose purposely not to talk to this issue because, first of all, I'm the vice chair, I'm not the chair. And clearly the chair represents the consensus, and that's what she would like done. I hear everybody very, very well that it may not be a good idea, and it may not have been a good idea in the past, as was mentioned by one of our colleagues, that this looks like washing a dirty washing in public. I think this is very regrettable. We should have thought about this before. And so therefore, although I think I'm the only NPOC member here on the executive committee of NPOC, I would like to insist that subject stays on the list.
Okay, in which case I think the discussion will have to continue in the policy committee and on the full discuss list to how we bring four down to three. But
Avery, sorry, directly to that point, there's no, what's the hard rule about three or four?
They asked for three, but I can check to make sure whether I'm wrong or not.
We can only ask for three.
Well, of course, you can do anything you want.
Excuse me, can I ask a question to the Bill?
Of course, Bill.
Okay. The decisions on this are made in the policy committee. Is that not the case?
The decisions are made in the policy committee with the advice of the full community, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so...
It has to go back to the policy committee and the...
And there has to be consensus there. And there has to be consensus there, right?
It has to be rough consensus. The executive committee by charter is full consensus. The policy committee is by charter rough consensus.
Okay. I think the policy committee has already spoken to this issue, but we can do it again.
And Mary is the chair of the policy committee, so I'll leave that up to you all in the policy committee. What I won't, as interim NCSG chair, take any action to answer the message until such time as the policy committee has spoken.
A technical question from Alain Avery. Is this this is the NCSG policy committee, right?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep, yeah, and you guys have seats in it as there's the it's composed of, from my recollection of the charter, it's composed of two members from each of the full status constituencies. The chair of the NCSG sits in it. The members of the G Council sit in it, and other can sit in it as observers, as invited by the policy committee. And also, there's an observer from any candidate constituency.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Avery, it's Mary. Can I jump in, or is there an issue?
Please, Mary, go ahead.
So, Alain, I just wanted to follow up on the point that you raised. And, I mean, clearly I think this must go back to the policy committee if we are going to come up with three topics. One thing I was wondering is you and the chair of NPOC might consider that given there's quite a lot of sentiment, not that the issue shouldn't be discussed. I think there is a willingness to discuss the issue. I think the reluctance is to do so before the board, before the groups and people have had a chance to discuss this face-to-face amongst themselves. So one suggestion I had was there is an SG-wide meeting on Constituency Day. If we put that as the agenda topic, as an internal discussion amongst the SG members and the different constituencies. It seems to me to be a way of solving the problem so that, you know, in terms of using the 1 hour we have with the board, we can devote that to more substantive policy issues.
I since you addressed the question to me, Avery, can I respond?
Yes, please.
Yeah, no, I would love to, you know, I understand that if you want to have influence on a city or on a part of a city, you got to have that part of the city in order. And if you want your local community to influence your local community, you have to have your house in order. And, you know, I was just, so yes, I agree with the statement that we must sit down and discuss internal issues. The thing is that, first of all, we're not going to be in Dakar to discuss it. So, you know, it's going to be, we're not there. And there's mistrust and resentment on the new kid, the new kid on, in the sandbox. We feel that we understand quite well that it's good to deal the issues inside the sandbox. But you know, if you look at the paper from Robin that's been circulated on our list, and my God, I just didn't realize that the mistrust was reciprocal. And so, yes, I have been a spokesperson for internal discussion, and then the talk hasn't been walked, and I'm not sure we control all our destinies in this. And but yes, let's put it on. First of all, the policy committee is going to decide which three issues go. So you guys already know the answer. And, you know, talking just about substantive issue is really great. I mean, the three subjects there, I have, Avery knows I've worked on the jazz. I believe in the multi-stakeholders model, so we should be involved in the CEO search. And, God, what's more important than making sure government don't make a grab for the internet, you know, for the ICANN mandate? And so there cannot be a multi-stakeholder, a true multi-stakeholder model without us representing whatever you call it, non-commercial, not-for-profit, civil society, etc. So, yes, but you know where the talk has not been walked. And but, yes, let's sit down and we'll come in virtually. But really, you know, we should have had more NPOC representation in Dakar.
This is Avery. We've obviously moved into the topic of relationships between the constituencies and walks being walked and talks being talked. So one of the issues that needs to be added to this discussion, I think, in terms of walks and talks, is the secret letter of complaints by NPOC to the board. And we're wondering, just in terms of various people have been talking, whether that letter will be made open and transparent before people have all of these discussions that are being insisted upon.
Well,
Alex, I don't know if you have...
Yes, this is Konstantinos, and sorry to be jumping in, and thanks for bringing up that issue, Avery, in this chat, because in these discussions that we're having, I've heard Elaine saying that Robin sent out an email to about the email that Robin sent. I mean, this was to the least. My understanding, and we've been asking for the letter that NPOC sent to the board, and this was not put to all the members to see it. It was just sent behind our backs, literally. And I would like to ask Elaine if it would be possible to know the content of that letter, because we really do not have that information as of yet. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that I was responding to Mary Wong, and that specific question was, shouldn't we be discussing this internally? And yes, we should. But as I said, I'm only the vice chair. And so as to the letter, there's been no letter sent to the board yet. And that's all I can say right now.
That's interesting, because I had a discussion with the chair who had received a letter of complaint from Deborah, and basically after we talked about it a little, he basically indicated, you know, you guys should really get your act together.
Yeah, which date are you talking about?
We talked in Dakar.
No, sorry, Dakar hasn't happened.
We talked in Nairobi. Forgive me, I'm an idiot.
Okay, Nairobi. Yeah. Oh, I was not aware of that letter.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Constantino, I just want to say that I just wanted to point out to everybody that you put on the NCSG list the report by Robin Gross on civil society involvement in ICANN. Do you remember that?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you've, I'm sure you've read it. I've read it. And that is the base for me to say. I don't have an historical perspective. I've joined NPOG very recently. Reading that was absolutely revealing to me, because I saw how much I'm associated with a group that is distrust by the larger group. And maybe I don't know if I find it interesting reading, because you know, it's just a series of slap in the face for us, and that's, you know, we can't be kicked and beaten around and then said, oh, we should talk this over. We should talk it over before getting beaten up.
Avery, this is Mary. Can I get back in the queue?
Please. Anyone else like to be in the queue while I'm building a queue?
Bill.
Excuse me?
Bill.
Bill, okay. Mary, then Bill. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Thanks. And I feel badly that you're the only NPOP member on this call. I really hope that you don't feel under attack in any way.
No, I don't. I do not.
So just a couple of things, not really in response, more for clarification and one point of confusion on my own part. Let me just say very briefly that personally I've been very supportive of having an NPOP constituency within the NCSG, and I believe that I have a good relationship with a lot of people across the SG, even though we oftentimes hold rather different positions. And having said that, I find it a little unfortunate that even though there are documents and reports and letters that are written by members, that views are often attributed to the larger group, which I hope that you're finding in your participation on our list, that the group is actually a lot more diverse than it might appear to those new to us. Having said that, I wanted to return to the point about the letter of complaint, because I was also under the impression that Steve Crocker had received some kind of formal communication, and as a result, he had a discussion with Avery, and travel funding was made available for you as well. So if that's not the case, or if there's no letter, or if there's some other thing that was going on, I think it would be good for us to know what that is. And finally, I think in terms of what you said, I agree. I don't think this ostracizing and mistrust is a good thing. I don't think any of us do. What I would, and here I'd like to speak as the chair of the policy committee, I think it really does show that we definitely need to speak internally. And I, for one, I think I'm concerned that if we do not have the chance to do so thoroughly, and then we talk with the board with this two-side thing on Tuesday in Dakar, I think it will be very destructive for the whole SG, and not just on this specific issue. So I'm not saying don't talk to the board about it at all. I'm just saying that I think there will be a time that we may, as an SG, want to speak to the board, but that should come after we've had a chance to talk thoroughly within the SG.
Okay, thank you. Bill?
I'm finding myself a little frustrated with this conversation. I'm sure I'm not alone in that for varying reasons. But let me just say this. If there were people in MPOC who feel that somehow they are not being treated correctly by the stakeholder group, it would be helpful if some of them would actually make an appearance from time to time. Because all we're hearing, Ellen, is you telling us this, and I don't know who you're speaking for. And I have asked on the list, who are the members? Tell us who these people are. They don't participate. They've never participated. And this makes it rather difficult then when assertions are being made that we are not treating somebody fairly. I don't know who the somebody is. There is in NCUC a couple hundred members of varying degrees of activity, obviously, like every other civil society organization. I think they very much do walk the talk. They've been involved for a very long time in ICANN working the issues. They've spent a lot of time in political capital doing it. They've made significant contributions in a number of areas, and I would not be able to accept the characterization that somehow they are failing in some manner, all because there's one or two people who feel aggrieved for reasons we don't know about and who are also in the habit of having extensive private conversations with the board. This has gone on for a very long time. Your funding for Dakar happened because Debbie wrote to the board. And Debbie wrote to the board on grounds that we don't understand, because there's a committee which she's on that made decisions on funding. And they reallocated the funds in accordance with the procedures that we've all agreed. And if you don't like the outcome of that, you should talk with Debbie, because she was there. I don't know why it would be something that she would write a secret letter to the board, and if you say you don't even know about the letter, I don't know how you think you got funded to go, but this is all, you know, this is not the kind of thing. This clearly is, first of all, something that has to be talked through, and it has to be talked through with more than just you. You need to get whoever your members are to participate in the life of the stakeholder group and the dialogues that we have, and then we can understand what the issues are, and then we can try to respond to them. Running to the board and saying, please be involved in this internal stuff when, you know, most of us have no idea what the discussion is even about, is not going to be terribly productive and is not going to make the stakeholder group look very good. And we are already always in a position of being kind of the underdogs pushing for perspectives that otherwise get lost in a business-dominated organization. I don't see how that can be constructive. So I would just really encourage you that if you've got members and they have concerns, they should get involved in the stakeholder group. And then we can talk about what their concerns are. And we can all begin to try to understand each other. I, like Mary, and I think like others here, am perfectly happy to have a constituency that focuses on operational issues. I'd like to hear more definition of exactly what that means. But, you know, I think it's perfectly fine. We're not opposed to having other constituencies. We're opposed to trying to work with folks who don't ever engage with us and who don't ever operate in a transparent way that we're able to figure out what's going on. And so this leads to a lot of frustration, and I hope you can take that back to your folks as vice chair and light a fire under them to please get involved in a stakeholder group and then have open dialogue with us. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to point out a couple things. One, we have four people who have disconnected, Jolly, Wendy, Milton, and I believe Wolfgang. Anyone else want to be in the queue on this topic? Are we done with this topic for now?
Well, maybe I would like to make a short point.
Please do.
Yeah, this is Alain.
Yes, thank you, Alain. And thank you for saying your name when you spoke. Thank you.
Yeah. So this was William. This was Bill talking, right?
This was Bill Drake talking, yes.
Yeah. Bill, I don't think this is the time to engage into, you know, he said, she said type of thing. There's a lot of things that you've said that I agree with. I think there's lots of people of goodwill in both constituencies. You are asking the right questions. There are answers as to why we are not participating as fully as we could and as we will. You got to remember we're very new. And we think we can bring an interesting set of members to the group. So and there's so yeah, lots of people of goodwill in this, and there's lots of misunderstanding, and that's why there's mistrust. And I don't control the entire process in my shop, and you know that I favor a deep exchange on this. And I there are answers to your question about the travel allocation. I can discuss them with you at some other time if you want, or but I don't think it's the point to discuss, you know, he said, she said, that email, etc. The reality is that there was one NPOG travel allocation given to proposed to Amber. Amber said she couldn't go and requested that I go for NPOC. And then there was silence. And that silence was deadly in terms of the results. And when we sent out an inquiry, we came back as, did we want to reopen the issue? There was no issue to be reopened. It was just, it would have been courteous to say, we want to dialogue with these new members. And they had expressed the wish to send to send a member, and that's not going to happen. So, you know, now let's be clear. I've been to Dakar 30 times in my life, if not more. I didn't need one more trip to Dakar, but what I needed was one ICANN meeting where I think I could have contributed to the improvement of our relationships. And unfortunately, I will not travel, and but we'll try to participate virtually. The frustration is in both camps, Bill. So let's move forward and try to find a solution, but. I repeat again the issue of publishing the paper by Robin Gross on our list, calling NPOC a Trojan horse into NCSG. I mean, it's down to name calling and bad faith and so on. There's even my name is even mentioned in the paper that I tried to do some wrongdoing by trying to make my NGO applied for membership. The process was so long, I knew my NGO was, the NGO I was on the board, was closing doors. And it took us less time to close the NGO than it took for NCSG to approve the membership. At the time we applied for membership, we were legally constituted and operating. There was no attempt to manipulate or you know, try to get one false registration. We're not joining ICANN for that. Anyway, as I said, I didn't want to get into he said, she said type of thing. I know there's people of goodwill most of the people are in goodwill, and probably all of them. There's just been one L of a misunderstanding, and unless we chat it out, as I said, it may be too late to chat it out, but if it's not too late, let's do it.
Thank you. This is Aubrey. I want to make one comment that I think is a correction on your listing of facts.
Okay.
Within the EC, first of all, long before Milton, who was the one that actually suggested Amber and Robin, I had been put on the list as somebody traveling, and the EC had earlier approved that. When Milton made the recommendation for Amber, I asked, and this was on the EC list, does that mean you want to take the traveling away from me to give it to Amber, at which point Milton responded that he didn't know that I still needed the travel support, at which point the EC made a decision, and it sat for a while with no objection, that the current chair and the chair-elect were reasonable solutions for that particular pair of allocations. So it was indeed discussed. It was not that there was silence after Amber suggested that you replace her. It's just that at that same time, the discussion was that it should be the exiting chair and the incoming chair, and in terms of those two allocations. So I just wanted to, and if you go through the history and the archives of the mail on the list, you will see that I'm not arguing anything normative, just something descriptive about the events as they occurred. Anyone else want to speak on this?
May I add 2 cents?
This is Bill?
Yeah.
Yes, Bill Drake, please. Go ahead.
Just by way of further clarification, at the time, Alan, I don't think any of us knew, because we don't know anything about what goes on in MPOC, that you were a vice chair. We didn't know MPOC had a vice chair. So I'm not on the executive committee, but I did argue strongly that it made sense in this time of transition for the funding of the NC counselors to be allocated to the incoming and outgoing chair of the stakeholder group, who had to be there to run meetings and do all that. And had I been on the EC and somebody said, well, there's a guy who's a member of the new constituency, I might have thought, well, but their counselor is coming already. She's got funding. And so if the choice is between a regular member of a constituency, which we don't know how many people are actually in it or who's involved, or the chairs of the stakeholder group, you know, I would think it's a reasonable choice for the executive committee to make, to think that the chairs should be there. So it was not, I think, directed at you. It certainly was not a matter of, I don't think it could be characterized as discriminatory or inequitable when there's not clarity as to who all would be represented by having the two NPAC people there rather than one and all these things. So it's just to put this in context, people had to make decisions. The money was already allocated. People were making travel plans. We post hoc find out that a secret letter has been written to the board complaining about this. And it's not the first time that we've had, a lot of extensive communication from other people in the NPAC leadership to the board that we weren't privy to, and we found out piecemeal afterwards. And that's not a trust builder. When things are not done in a transparent way, it's not a trust builder. So that's why I say, again, let's not do things in a non-transparent way. Let's get all of our members involved in conversations. Let's mind share, and let's see what our various perspectives are. Until we do that, we can't move forward. So it's just it's hard for people to figure out how to respond to this kind of situation. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll stop.
Okay. How are we doing? Anyone else wish to speak on this topic? I hear two voices. I hear Alan's, which I'm beginning to recognize, and I heard another one. Who else wants to be in the queue?
It's Rafiq.
Rafiq, okay. So, Rafiq, please go ahead, and then Alan, because Rafiq hasn't actually spoken yet on the topic, and then I'll come to you, Alan, if that's okay?
That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I joined, I think, like 15 minutes ago, the call. And I was caught what Alan said about the EC approving the membership. I think it's not really related to the ongoing discussion about this letter to the board. Just I want to make some clarification that it didn't take so much time for the EC to make decision, as we didn't have always needed information, and receiving a bulk of application at the same time is not fair, especially in summer. I remember in July when I was in Tunisia, like for vacation, and I asked it, I think DBA or Amber, when we are going to receive this application. They say that everybody, have professional equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So after that, to be accused that we don't do the EC our work, I cannot really stand that. And by the way, I think Avery mentioned that many times in the communication and the mailing list that we asked, I think, many times that the prospective or current INPOC applicant should apply directly to the NCHEAC to long time ago to join the NCHE, and then they get really familiar to the process and to the ongoing discussion. But I didn't really interact with any INPOC members outside you and DB and Amber, and I find this is quite frustrating. So and even when you mentioned the case of your organization that is closing activities, you can understand that it's not really normal thing that organization. I call it the zombie organization. So we are pushed to approve a zombie organization which is closing activities but is still interested by policy matters in ICANN. So I find this quite interesting perspective. Anyway, if we want to build trust, I think some things should be avoided, so sending a letter to the board is not really something that myself, speaking even my own capacity, speaking for myself, I don't find this really the best way to build trust, and I agree with Bill on that matter. Sorry that I took a lot of time to speak, but I wanted to cover those different topics, and at least I do agree with Alan that there is goodwill people in both sides, so let's work in common ground. Let's avoid to bring our internals to the board. We are not in kindergarten. We are adults, and we should fix and solve our issues together. We don't agree every time. That's something normal. And let's work really for policy making for non-commercial. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a land. One thing I wanted to bring up before we went further, the paper has been mentioned several times. I wanted to point out that this paper was a paper published by the APC. It was not an NCUC or an NCSG position paper in any way. It was the individual viewpoint of an author writing a paper for a very respected civil society activist organization. So I understand that when people read it, things may have bothered them, but it isn't a NCUC position. Not that I want to diminish Robin's, you know, importance to the NCUC, but I kind of sounds like I'm hearing this paper discussed as if it were an NCUC position paper as opposed to a paper published by the APC. And I don't know if anyone wants to correct me on that, but I think it needs to be differentiated. I've often made statements while I was chair that made my fellows in NCUC and NCSG want to pull their hair, but they were made as an individual, you know, within my own freedom of expression space, and it had no effect on how, as a member of the group in a responsible position, I would behave. And I expect that, you know, needs to be accepted as true in general for the work any of us put out. And if somebody in MPOC were to write a paper about what a bunch of curs the people in NCUC had been to them, that would not be an MPOC position. It would be a person's paper. Alan.
Yeah, well, you've actually created, first of all, you are a superb debater. If I was to organize a debating team, I'd want you on my side. Avery, to Bill and to Rafik first, merci beaucoup, Rafik. I want to say that, you know, don't hold me responsible for decisions that preceded my participation in NPOC, number one. Number two, I have stated the position that we need to talk. And number three, I've stated that it's better to wash our dirty laundry in private. Number four, you know, Avril gave a very, Bill, to answer your question, Avril has a very good feel for, and she had a long email where she described the process of NPOC membership becoming NCSG members. You probably should be pleased to know that we probably have a roster of 50 members now, and when they have gone through due process, they you will see that they are very interesting additions to if you want to call it a not-for-profit voice or a civil society voice. To Rafik on you know. Maybe the perception that Focal was a zombie organization. Tell me, I've involved 4 years of my life in it. It was the prime Canadian think tank.
Thank you.
On Latin America and Canada relationship, and we have a conservative government which doesn't like not-for-profits and just closed us down by cutting us funds. It was faster for us. I'm sorry, Rafik, summer or not, it's somewhere in the world. It was very transparent. When I applied, Focal was a going concern. Anyway, we have obviously withdrawn the Focal membership. Although at the time of application, it was not a zombie application. It was a real application. The last point I want to make, Avery, is that, first of all, you know, the co-founder of APC is an NPOC member. We know the history of APC inside out. They are a Global Knowledge Partnership member. We know a lot of the people in APC by their first name. If you go on the APC website, you will see that IP Justice is not a member of APC. Now, maybe they have become a member since, but they're not a member as per the website. So I don't know how Robin can publish on an APC logo. Second of all, the paper is not peer-reviewed, and it's really offensive. The problem is it comes from the person who's going to be my chair of NCSG. So I think that's all I have to say. Bill, you know, our members are not very active right now. The old core of members, you know, the first 15 members or so that were members when NPOC was approved, since then, it's very recent. The next 35 members have been recruited in the last few months. NPOC has a tremendous executive reach into the developing world, and you know, things get said that hurt people, but in reality, you will find that we have a high quality membership. You're really going to like our membership as we become more and more active. So yeah, we're just starting, okay, Bill? We're just starting, and we are learning. And you will find me a team player.
Thank you, Alan. Robin was addressed directly in your response. I wonder, Robin, would you like to make any comment?
I do. Yeah. Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Great. Yeah, Alan, I wanted to respond to a few of your comments. First was you didn't just sort of a factual issue. APC asked me to author a paper for them on civil society engagement in ICANN, and that's why it's an APC paper, just so you're wondering. But I think that I'm really glad that you've read it and you've had a chance to see some of the feeling and the frustration that many of us who have been involved in ICANN and NCUC for a long time have now had to deal with the last year, particularly with the influence of the intellectual property constituency and that they've had in to create this new NPOC constituency. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to sit down directly with you in Dakar and let's talk. Let's go through some of these issues and some of these concerns, because you know, I think we could both really benefit from hearing each other's perspective and experience. And I think that direct, face-to-face personal engagement is probably the best way to go forward on that. So that would be my suggestion.
It's a great suggestion. May I respond?
Please do.
Yeah, Robin, it's a great suggestion. You may have missed the part where I have had no travel allocation to go to Dakar, and I will not be in Dakar. So,
which
yes.
Is interesting, because we were told you did have an allocation, so I'm confused.
Yeah, two issues. It came too late. It doesn't cover the cost of the cheapest ticket to between Montreal and Dakar. And it, so I would have had to put the difference in my pocket, plus hotel, plus, anyway, it was a logistical problem. And then on top of that, I have a family emergency, which even if I had a $10,000 budget, family emergency would have stopped it. Robin, I hear you well, and I think I will be in San Jose, once again, a playground for me. I know Costa Rica inside out from a development viewpoint, and can be an asset for the NCSG. So yes, of course, face to face would help. I think we need to bring the parties together. Although I'm not a lawyer, I'm an engineer. I think if we talk, it will do a lot of good. And it's too bad we couldn't talk before Dakar. That's all. And or at Dakar, I went to San Francisco on my own ticket, and but there it was a learning curve. I went to ICANN University, and that's all. And I didn't meet many people, but I hope to be in San Jose in some role at the next meeting, and the one after that is in Toronto. It will be easy for me to drive down. So yes, thanks, Robin, for the offer, and we have, like Bill said, there have been huge trust. There's been a lot of motions that weren't trust builders and trust destroyers, and we need to rebuild the trust. That's for sure. I'll play my part in it, but it's a team effort, and I'm only one person. So thank you very much, and sorry for the long intervention.
Thank you. At this point, we've only got a few minutes left in this meeting, so I think this discussion could probably go a long time. I do suggest that perhaps people, to say one of the last suggestions I'll make, talk about these things among themselves, call each other on Skype or phone, and consider to discuss them, even if they can't both be in Dakar. In terms of the rest of it, I was looking for updates from various folks. One of the things I find unfortunate about some of these meetings and some of the level of participation as I leave, oh, I see that Robin has now disconnected, is that, for example, we've got people on the Who Is Policy Review Team on the security, and that's Kim Van Ark, Security, Stability, and Resilience, that's David Cake, and the DSA, that's Rosola Mattioli, that it would really be good to get updates from them periodically when we have these meetings. I hope that in the future they can be brought into these meetings more. I failed at getting them to these meetings pretty much for 2 years running, so hopefully others will have a better chance. I don't really have anything else now to go through. Does anybody want to add something in these last 5 minutes? Yes, please repeat.
I'm not sure because I joined late. Did you cover the jazz issue or something?
We did cover the jazz issue to the extent that I thought perhaps when it was brought up as one of the topics for the meeting with the board, it was one of the topics that seemed to have general agreement on it. Two, we had a discussion where people were talking about the possibility of making statements at the forum, and Bill had brought up the issue that ALAC and GAC, or actually ALAC in the role of Evan, have been pressing on the NCSG to make some sort of public statement in support of jazz. I spoke on the fact of how much the NCSG had supported jazz within the G Council, but also made the recommendation that if the NCSG does wish to make a public statement in the forum, I would recommend thinking about making one that pointed directly at asking the board to support the fee reduction as had been recommended by ALAC and GAC, and as had been recommended by the jazz. So that's pretty much a quick recap of the jazz stuff that came up. Does that work for you? Anything else you want to add about jazz?
Yes, thank you, Avri. I do agree for the statement, not necessarily with that. It's important that NCAG makes a strong statement. We started this effort in Nairobi. I do think that we need to get some credit. Myself, I get enough heat in the Genesis Council to see the other to get the credit for that teamwork that we did. I am for a strong statement from the NCAG asking the board to approve the jazz working group recommendation. We had enough discussion about jazz and join it, how to say, cross community working group. So, yeah, I am in favor. And especially because it's in Dakar, it will be really great to have that statement. And hopefully the board will approve the recommendation and the implementation plan if there is.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a final comment?
This is Alan.
Yes, Alex.
Okay, I have Alan. Who else do I have?
Alex.
Okay. Quick statements. Alan, Alan and then Alex. I did hear Alan.
I worked on the jazz. I've seen the wonderful work that Rafik has done and Carlton. Great chairs and great co-chairs. Really nice piece of work. At least the message is there. Lots of details missing, but there was only so many hours in the day. And this is very worthy. And we should make a strong support for it.
And Alex.
Yes, sorry, I lost about 15 minutes. My call had dropped.
I wanted to give a brief update on the candidate consumer constituency, just very briefly.
Okay, please.
And just to say that, thank you. To say that we have not progressed since San Francisco public meeting. There has not been, I'm not aware of any meeting, correspondence, further preparations, or progress made on the same. And this is, of course, not to be mistaken with the GNSO, Consumer Choice, Competition, and Innovation Working Group that was instantiated by the board at the Cartagena meeting, and of which Rosemary is, as we speak, chairing a meeting. So that's a different one. But as far as the NCSG candidate consumer constituency, there has not been any progress, and I think we should not expect a meeting at DACA. Certainly no room I'm aware of has been booked. That's the update I just wanted to give. But we hope maybe at some point in future we'll make some progress. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One thing I want to point out, and this is a task that sits on my successor's list of tasks, is that the charter calls for candidate constituencies being reviewed every 6 months. And so I do believe that the candidate constituency, consumer constituency, and the NCSG do need to have a discussion about how to continue and how to finalize the process with the candidate constituency, either by having it make it all the way to a full status or discontinuing the effort. But that's for the new chair and the NCSG EC to figure out, but it is overdue. And I apologize for not having forced the issue onto the table earlier. Anything else before we leave? It's a minute after the appointed time. No, in which case...
Thank you for the advice, Avery.
Sorry. Thank you all for attending this meeting. It was one of the most dynamic we've had during my time chairing it. And those of you traveling, good travels, and best wishes.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks.